I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. Gosh, anytime we get a chance to talk to a guy that owns a beer store, it's cool. But when you got a beer store with a piano in it, you're in Lowell, Michigan, baby.
And the guy was tuning it while I was there.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't tune a fish.
Right. But he tuned a piano. But anyway, so I made a little comfort food over the weekend, last weekend, and I want to share it with you because if you guys are listeners at all, you know that I give Bob a little bit of pain about wanting to do everything in a Dutch oven. Well, it got so painful, he bought me one. And so I figured I better learn how to use it.
I had to win him over.
Right. It's a cast iron. Lodge is the brand. A Dutch oven is a cast iron pot with a lid, if you don't know what it is. But
if you don't know what it is, get online and look up Lodge cast iron.
Right.
They're out of Tennessee. They're from America.
Right. And they're in stores all over. So anyway, I use this Dutch oven, and I also use my Big Green Egg. Right, Big Green Egg is a Kamado grill, and it's a charcoal-fired grill. I put a pretty hot fire in that, and I took two red peppers, like bell peppers. I took two sweet onions, right? And then I put those on the grill and let them get cooked. And then I put the little yellow gold potatoes, right? The little guys that are about the size of a golf ball.
Yep.
I put about a dozen of those on there. And I didn't want to cook them. All I wanted to do was get them charred, right? So I had a fire pretty hot, and I left them on there maybe 5 minutes aside. Didn't want to cook the potatoes, just wanted to get that char, a little bit of flavor on the outside, blister up that pepper a little bit. Got all that done, pulled that stuff off, set the Dutch oven right on the fire, on the grate, got it smoking hot, and put 2 pounds of thick bacon in there. And let it render down. I chopped it up in a pretty heavy chop, but I just let it render off. And for 4 or 5 minutes, then it cooked, stirring it around because that cast iron was hot. So then I pulled that out of there, but I left the grease in, right? So then I chopped up the onions, the peppers, and the potatoes. And the potatoes, I just quartered them.
I'm so hungry.
Right, I just quartered them. And then when I had bought 3 cans of clams, right, and chopped, not minced, but chopped clams is what I got. And I drained those off, and I saved the juice in a jar, okay? So
because it smells so good.
Right. Well, no, I wanted to use it in the recipe. Then I used 1 cup of chicken stock, and I used 2 cups of heavy cream, okay? So what I did is I took that out, and I put those onions, those peppers, and those potatoes in there in that bacon grease that was still hot. Let them saute a little bit, soften up a little bit. And then I took 3 stalks of celery, chopped that up. But I didn't want that cooked so much. I put that in right at the end. Okay? So then I put in my clam juice, which was probably about 2 cups. Then I put in the chicken broth, which was 1 cup. And then I put in the 2 cups of cream. Okay? And I let that come together. Of course, there was some garlic in there. I actually used Sobey Meats Tim's blend. Is what I used as a seasoning. I put quite a little bit of that in there when the vegetables were sautéing, and I let all that come together with that. Now I put the liquids on, and I let it come up to a little bit of a boil. It was bubbling a little bit, simmering. And then I poured those 3 cans. They were like 8-ounce cans of like tuna fish size, but they were clams. I threw the clams in there, let them cook for 4 or 5 minutes, and then it just, you know, just all starts bubbling together. And then I had bread bowls, and I'd hollowed out the bread bowls. And I ladled that stuff out of that Dutch oven and put it in a bread bowl, hit it with a little bit of chives on top that I just chopped up. Un-ba-flippin' leavable. Super simple recipe. You heard it right there. That's all I did. But my gosh, was that good. And it was hot, you know, and it was during those nights when it's, you know, my wife comes
home. Nothing.
Yeah, right. My wife comes home at 7 o'clock at night, and I got it all done and put it in a bread bowl, man. You just want to cuddle up against that thing, man. It was so good. A little bit of white wine that we had with it, a little Chardonnay, and it was like, bang, I hit that one out of the park. But it was in a Dutch oven, baby. That's all about, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Really cool. Great recipe.
That's very, very cool.
Yep.
So,
you wanted to talk about spatchcock and a bird. I threw a curveball at you when I boiled a clam.
That's okay. I think a lot of people miss the opportunity to take a whole chicken and do something fun with it. And we've talked about spatchcocking for years. But if you're a new listener or weren't paying attention the last time, we're going to do it again. And it's a very simple practice. You basically take a whole bird, and you can do this with a Cornish hen, a turkey, a chicken, a pheasant, partridge, anything, grouse, whatever you want to do it with. And you flip it over on its breast, and you take some poultry shears, and you just cut the spine out of it.
From the tail to the front, or yep. from the front to the back, yep. doesn't matter.
You cut the spine out of it, and then it'll flop open. And then you take your I use a boning knife, but I'll take that boning knife and go down the sides, and I'll cut the ribs out of it because you don't want anybody, you know, mistakenly biting into one of those.
Well, and the smaller the bird, the more toothpicky they are, and then you don't want to get
– Yeah, so you get the ribs out of it, and you can actually totally debone it if you want, but if you just cut a few of the bones out that are obviously keeping it together, it'll be very pliable.
Well, what I would say is you probably don't want to debone the breast.
No.
And you don't want to debone the thighs, but no. the cavity is what you're talking about.
But you can.
Right.
I mean, some guys do it. But so basically, you're just taking out the bones that are in the way. And then I'm going to brine it, especially if it's a wild game like a grouse or a pheasant or something like that, partridge, even a Cornish hen, anything like that. I'm going to brine it, but I'm going to brine a chicken too because it just makes it really, really juicy. And it allows you to infuse a little bit of flavor if you want some aromatics in it. Then you've got carte blanche. You can do whatever you want with it. You can grill it. You can fry it. You can broast it. You can roast it. You can smoke it.
Toast it.
You can smoke it.
Or you might even want to smoke it. Right.
But if you put the thing in the proper position when you place it on the pan, however you're cooking it, when you get done with it, you have this really cool presentation.
And what's the proper position?
Well, it's whatever you like, but basically you're gonna lay it out and you're gonna have the legs going in a certain direction and the wings in a certain direction, and it's just gonna look really cool when it cooks because that's what you're gonna present.
Right. And some people have called this brick chicken too, because it lays flat like a piece of paper on the grill,
but that's
right?
That's different.
Right. But you spatchcock it to make a brick chicken.
You have to spatchcock a chicken to brick it, but that's where you put the brick in the fire and wrap it in foil. And I'm not a fan of that. I tried it once and I didn't get it.
Right.
Maybe I did it wrong.
Right.
But it was like.
Well, I didn't mean to derail you, but spatchcock chicken, and you're going to cook it on both sides, right? Aren't you? Going to cook the spatchcock chicken on both sides?
If you're going to grill it, you'll have to.
Right.
And if you're going to grill it, I'm going to tell you to oil the bottom of it, the opened portion of the chicken, first, and then flip it so that you're melding some of that fat from the skin, and then flip it over and crisp up your skin and cook the other side.
Right.
If you're going to smoke it, put your skin up.
Right.
And put it on the smoking rack.
And then you wouldn't flip it
if
you're smoking it.
No.
Right.
No, and I like smoking them or doing them in an offset fashion because it's a thick protein. It's quite a nice chunk of meat. You got 2-3 pounds there, 4 pounds. I don't know what the average chicken is.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 4 pounds.
Yeah.
But you can do it with a small turkey too.
Sure.
Sometimes you get an opportunity to get a young, fresh turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Those spatchcock out beautifully because there's more meat.
Right.
And then you definitely want to brine it because the breasts are even leaner and you want to make sure that you don't, get dry meat.
Right.
Spatchcock!
And one last thing is use your digital thermometer, get into the thighs, make sure that's 165 before you pull that thing off of there. Nobody likes to cut that open and find that. But anyway, coming up next, maybe a little mac and cheese, a little more comfort food for the dead of winter. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience Pure Michigan Wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.